Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank for another episode reviewing a bit of an away hammering, I'm afraid. It's taken us a little bit of time to process what was a pretty disappointing result on Friday night away at Quinn's, but we're feeling good and we're looking forward to the home game against Stade Français on Sunday. So we're going to chat all things Quinn's game, your three-word reviews, and look ahead to that game, and we'll do a little roundup of North West Rugby at some point as well, albeit it mostly is frozen off the conclusion for a lot of games. I'm Alex, and I'm joined by my very good friend and co-host, James. James, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. I mean, we nearly didn't do the pod. I mean, just to put it out there to everyone, we nearly went, you know what, we just don't fancy doing it this week. I'm sure the listeners would have forgiven us. It's not a good. It's always nice to do the pod when we've won. It's always tough to do it when we've lost. But when we've lost under these circumstances, you know, it's difficult to know exactly where to start, really, because, you know, we kind of went down there with some hopes. Everyone always wants to, you know, do these guys over with their prawn sandwiches and all of the rest of it. But, you know, we've had some famous wins down there, but I think, you know, they look still dangerous. They play a brand of rugby that if they open a team up, then they can score lots of points. And that's exactly what's happened. And, you know, we're kind of back a little bit where we were the season before last, where we were just, we're struggling to score points, really. You know, when you actually look at both the points difference and the number of tries scored, we're not looking in great shape. We don't look like a top four side with those stats. And I'm afraid this weekend I think showed that we need to up our game quite significantly. I think this was a continuation of the previous couple of weeks, frankly. We just came up against a team at home who were on their game and they battered us.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the key thing, isn't it? It's not like we didn't really see this coming. We were, you know, on last week saying we need to turn it around, but we think we can. And actually what's happened is we've played exactly as well as we did against Bath. It's just that, you know, we probably defended a little bit better against Bath, but ultimately we were at home on a Friday night in the freezing cold north. And this time we were away on a Friday night. Quinn's crowd, you know, everyone's coming out of work in London and going down to the Stoop, sell out. They, you know, you look at half time, it was only 10-3 and, you know, you're only 7 points behind. The scoreline really, I mean, it probably reflected the game, but it ran away with us towards the end of the game rather than, you know, them being 30 points up within 30 minutes and then it just played out. So, you know, it's what you kind of expected, but it's nevertheless pretty disappointing. And I agree with you that, you know, we have seemed to have regressed because we're top of the table. This one thing we haven't mentioned yet, and we probably should be mentioning, is that we're still top of the table because of other results in the league. So you really can't complain. But that chasing pack looks like it's got a bit of momentum. And you've got a Sarries team with momentum who are coming through. You've got a Bath team who look really strong with Finn Russell and Ben Spencer sort of pulling the strings at 9 and 10. So everyone behind us seems to be accelerating towards us. And we are, if you look at our last three results, we've lost to Quinns, we've sneaked past Bath, and we've kind of got a win against Newcastle that, again, was a bit of a sneak past them. So, you know, we don't seem to be on the same upward trajectory as the other teams that are chasing us. So, yeah, you're right, we don't look like a top four side. It's early in the season, so there's still time. But, like you say, if we carry on playing like that, then we're going to be in a top six side rather than a top four side. And top six isn't quite what it was when there's only 10 teams in the league, is it? So where do you think it went wrong on Friday night? Do you think it was a specific thing? Do you think it's sort of just a general came up against a better team?
Well, the scrum didn't go too bad. There were a couple of horror shows, but we also won a couple of scrum penalties there. I thought that would be an area where there would be complete dominance. But I think that it's just in open field. I think that when we get disjointed in defence and we're not having dominant tackles and dominant collisions, we people can score tries. And that's the downside of our defensive system, right? If we're hitting with dominant tackles, the way that we put the pressure on the opposition usually leads to turnovers or penalties or mistakes, scrum mistakes, knock-ons. I think that basically Quinn's just found a way to unlock us a little bit in that regard. I think we did look disjointed. And by the way, not just in the 13 channel, which I think is easy to point the finger at, but I thought we brought pressure onto ourselves as well. I didn't think that our kind of exits were as good as they should be. I felt that the pressure came back to us too much. I think that, we've maybe seen the development areas of Joe Carpenter's game so far this season in comparison to last season, where everything just seemed to go right. And he was a breath of fresh air because, always took the ball up, broke the first tackle, scores lots of tries, beautifully balanced runner. Can distribute as well, like with offloads. Nice. He always plays what's in front of him as well and draws the man, which is quite good once he has that line breaks. Doesn't panic. But I think with kicking out of hand and with some of the decisions, when to kick, when to run back, I wonder if he is working on his kicking game. And that's actually, ironically, putting doubt in his mind as to what option to take. Whereas before, I think it was just like, well, there's no point in kicking because I can't be 100% sure where it's going to go. So I'm just going to run it back. And it was just like simple for him. Whereas now he's trying to read the game, play maybe the right tactical decision. I think sometimes he makes the wrong decision, or he just did this for that extra second longer and I think he gets caught. I don't want to make this all about one player, because I think it was more of a system failure. And I think that it was a continuation of the last 2 weeks, I feel, where really we didn't turn up from a physical perspective. Certainly in the second half, I thought, we just didn't bring that level of intensity that you've come to get used to for Sale. And certainly, we know it's difficult to keep that up week after week. So, you're going to get the odd week that drops off. But to have 3 weeks in a row with slightly lower intensity, that's what worries me. And, we've still had a very strong side out. Very, very strong side out this week, just as we did against Bath. It was like a Bath A-minus team, like A-stroke B team. And against the Newcastle B team, we didn't absolutely smash them. So, I don't know, if we just rested on our laurels a bit here, but we got our eye on Europe, and we'll talk about Stade Francais game soon. But I don't know, from your perspective, was there any particular thing? Do you agree with me that it was a bit of a system failure, or do you think there was some more fundamentals around individual mistakes, etc.?
Yeah, I think you're right on the system failure point. I think when you look at the Danny Kerr try where Marcus Smith skips through the line, it looks great that Marcus Smith has done it, but the thing that our defensive system usually covers against is someone doing that. I mean, it was right through the centre of the line. It was just playing at pace. And ultimately, like you say, we weren't pushing Quinn's back every hit, which we needed to do. And I suppose if you go to a Bristol game where our defensive system really works against Bristol, Quinn's, it's very 50-50 as to whether our defensive system works against them. And I don't, there's clearly subtle differences there between the two attacks. And probably a quality thing in terms of Kerr and Smith are international quality. And you make one mistake and they are going to punish you. But for someone to just skip through the middle of our defence like that is really unusual to see as a Sale fan. And I think it probably indicates, as you say, a wider sort of... There's not been that much rotation. Come on, Twitter and three-word reviews. There's not that much opportunity to rotate in certain places. There's a bit of the confusion about who's playing 10. You've got Sam James, who's probably one of our most talented players on the bench. And what's happening is, because the results has turned, the questions are all a bit louder than they were. And there were questions there before over George or Rob. There were questions over Sam James on the bench. There were questions over the back row depth. But if you lose a game like that against Quinns, everyone wants to beat them, then those questions are going to become more and more frequent and more important to kind of answer. But I think, it's easy to kind of blame the individual mistakes, but I think the individual mistakes probably come as a result of maybe a bit of fatigue, maybe a bit of, like you say, resting on our laurels. Just, you can't be up for every game, and our game plan is massively reliant on that physical dominance. And if we don't get it, then we do struggle a bit to have a secondary game plan, I think. and it looks so good when it works. And let's be realistic, it's the kind of thing that wins titles. You know, that intensity, if you can get up to it for a big game, then you're going to win a game. Quinns, you know, are not going to win the Premiership every year like Saracens did, because it's so hit and miss the way they play. But the problem is, for us on Friday night, that when it does go well, it's lethal. And when we're a bit off, we're actually quite far off because of how reliant we are on that dominance. So I think that's kind of where it comes back to. You know, you look at the tries and none of them are that impressive in terms of, you know, constant Quinns dominance. If anything, it's just, it's a bit too easy, and that's why it's not impressive. So obviously it is impressive, and I shouldn't say that, but, you know, it's just like, you know, through a gap, or, you know, we give them the ball and they take advantage. It wasn't, oh, this is, you know, the Maul try off the back of the Maul is just like the Red Sea opens and there's a massive, massive gap. You know, it all felt like a big system failure that you could point and go, well, individual mistake, individual mistake, individual mistake. But I think if the system is working and everyone is playing well, you know, those mistakes don't happen. And it probably just is we've played the same team quite a lot, as in we've not rotated because we haven't massively been able to. And it's probably getting to the point now where people are going to be better for coming off the bench or having a rest. And I think you'll see that in Europe. I think we'll rotate. I think you'll see people come back to form when they don't have to go and play the start of every game, because, you know, Dan Dupree is playing every game. You know, George Board knows that he's in at 10 if he's fit and up for selection, and, you know, things like that, where it's just that we've got quite a lot of injuries that are starting to come back. Hopefully we can expand that squad again. We know that our squad has always been lean and is still pretty lean. And we're probably at the point now where we've got a lot of out-of-form players who need a break. And maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe it's not. But it does seem to me like it's not like a massive cause for concern, is it? It's just a bit of a, you can see that there's an obvious reason for it, I think. And I think it's really hard to fix, but we know that there's the quality in this squad to come back from these kind of results and still be competing at the top end of the table at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, where there are concerns, I think, are still around the tight head depth, although, you know, with Asher coming through, that I think that's actually quite exciting, and I can see why they've taken the risk this year. But if we don't win the Premiership, that could be a reason why. I also worried about Ben Curry's fitness. I think, you know, he still not seems to be operating at physical perfection. And that's a problem for us, because he's our leader. That consistency of leader is really important. But also, I think we're just a bit short in the back row at the moment. Just for the next maybe 4 or 5 weeks, it's going to be a bit of a struggle. So, you know, and so that's in the back of my mind. And then I still think Ford at 10 and, you know, the Rob Dupree at 13, I don't think he's ever fired. I think Rob Dupree has had good games at 13, don't get me wrong. None as good as his man of the match performances at 10, let's be honest. I think in the last, so basically since we signed George Ford, ironically, Rob Dupree at 10 has been, if not our best player, certainly in our top 3 or 4 players in the last year at 10. At 13, he proves capable of enough as long as he has a run and he isn't tossed about between the two positions. The thing, the dilemma that I think that we've got here now is that the form 13, once again, is Sam James. After a few quiet seasons, he really came through strong at the end of last year. And this season, wherever he's played, he's been exceptional. You know, he's been the definitely the form centre in any case. And that's a bit harsh on Sam Bedloe, who's had a solid season. But I think Sam James has had that kind of just the extra bit of quality that I think would take him a bit beyond. So they're in that dilemma again that they had where we called it wrong probably in about February of last year when George Ford came back from injury. And we said, no, Sam James needs to stay at 13. The Rob Dupree thing is not working. Put either start with Rob at 10 and have George on the bench or vice versa kind of thing. And the coaches basically were like, screw you. What do you know? You're just a bunch of fans on a podcast, a few pints down. And they were right. We were wrong, basically, because, you know, it really did come good and we got to the final. But I just think, will they make the same decision this time? There's question marks over Sam James's future, which is another worry for me. So there's a few different worries. But, you know, I think hindsight is what will show up this result, right? Because we've had a couple of really bad results, a couple of Tonkins. But then we've had a few wins where we've played poorly. So, you know, if you get to the end of the season and you're in the final again, you're like, well, we managed to find ways to win even when we were going through a rough patch. Okay, we got battered a couple of times, but we were back on the hobby horse quite quickly. So that for me is the test, Alex. Can we get back on the hobby horse in a really tough Champions Cup group? Because if we now go on a losing run in the Champions Cup, we basically have a run of three losses, but basically it could be five poor performances by the time we get there. That could be a different psychological state. If we rock up and we beat a team like Stade Francais, who, okay, you know, they lost to, I think they lost to, did they lose to Pau at the weekend? I can't remember.
Yeah, weekend but before, they, I think. They did then beat yeah. Toulouse, unfortunately. So
yeah, they lost the parade. So hang on. So no, actually, they won this weekend against Toulouse, which is a big win. So they do bring in some confidence against us. They lost on the road against Pau. I don't know whether that was with a much rotated squad. But they've only won one other game on the road this year against Perpignan, who will almost definitely be in the bottom two in the top 14. So I think, you know, it'll still be a big win if we can beat them, basically, is my point. And that, you know, just basically means there's no second-guessing ourselves. We still continue to believe in ourselves. Back to the Premiership, what we're seeing in the Premiership here is actually, if we'd won, we would have just been that, you know, a little bit further ahead. I think, you know, everyone would have been talking about how close it is in the Premiership. But actually, Sale would have had basically a win between us and the second in the league, you know, which is a nice thing to have in your back pocket as everyone else is like fighting like, you know, dogs underneath you. So now we're basically in the pack. I mean, yes, we are top of the league, which is not to be sniffed at. But it's so close down to like eighth that, you know, we could be down to sixth or seventh after one more weekend. So I think it's all about what is the mentality we bring back into the Premiership off the back of the Champions Cup. No need to panic. You know, other teams have gone to Quins, gone to Exeter, etc., and been hammered over the years and they still rock up. Saracens had a terrible start to the year, missing a few players like we are now, and they're coming back strong. So we don't look like we've made a stride forward from last year, but we still look in a similar way on our day, you know, very difficult team to beat. For whatever reason, you know, it's one of those where it was like, was there a knock on and that led to their try in the first half? So it was an error that was compounded and, you know, the break of the ball and a try. And then in the second half, they scored when Aaron Reid was in the sin bin, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that was right. Yeah, and then, you know, you have the, I think it's the Reid penalty and then they kick to the corner and then go over for the maul. And
Yeah,
like you say, it's that compounding of errors and, you know, we don't necessarily make those kind of, that Aaron Reid going for the interception, it's a 50-50 and actually when it's your day and that comes off, and when it's not, it obviously doesn't, and you get a yellow card and you can see the penalty. So, you know, it's one of those that I think we definitely deserve to lose the game, but like you say, it goes back to that old Sale days that we always used to say, where we're 5% off a brilliant performance, and there's just a few things that, you know, end up meaning we get beat 36-3, and I think that's maybe part of the worry, that, like you say, we're back in the chasing pack, and, you know, you have got to have confidence that we are good enough to beat the rest of the chasing pack, because, you know, who are they chasing other than us? I think last season we had that confidence, didn't we? And maybe that confidence has just been shaken a little bit this season because of the performances, because of the changes to the squad and the salary cap, and ultimately because of the injuries. I mean, you look at who we've been missing. We're missing Tom Curry for the entire season. We're missing, you know, Manu because of the post-World Cup. We've had Bevan in and out. We've had Rafi in and out. You know, there's a lot of players that that we really, really have missed this season. Jean-Luc Dupree is another massive one. Tom Ellis, back row depth. So, listen, we could go on for days and days about who's out with injury and start, you know, talking about when they're back. But we won't do that. We'll, instead, we'll talk about some three-word reviews. So thank you very much to everyone who sent these in. As always, it's very good to make sure that we don't miss any of the key themes that we really should be talking about, but also just great to see your take on the game. So Chris Jones, Rob or Ford, talking about what we were talking about there, James, and who do you pick at 10? And it almost implies one of them has got to be picked at 10 and it needs to be Sam James at 13. Zach Sieve Gold, embarrassing and unacceptable, which I think is a pretty fair response. And, you know, we're recording this on a Thursday, so nearly a week after the game, we're a bit more calmed down. But certainly on Friday night, that was definitely the prevailing emotion. Rod Nisbets was one of my favourites. No, no, no. Keep it simple and you won't go too far wrong. Taylor should have rotated more, which I think we might touch on shortly a little bit as well, but whether we rotate as we go into the stuff on say game. Peter Taylor, another one of my favourites, the bubble bursts. Michael Graham, a positive one that we have briefly touched on, Asher the future, and I think that was one of the positive things to come out of this game. We saw that Joe Marler mentioned him live on TNT Sports coverage, and he's been pretty outstanding for Sale FC this season and is being pretty outstanding in a Sharks shirt, which is great to see. Hugo Scott, sad I went, and I really do feel for you there, Hugo, because not only have you had to go all the way to the stoop to watch us get battered, but you had to sit around Harlequins fans and listen to them gloat, no doubt. So our commiserations and thoughts with you. And Alex Etherington, Nightmare Before Christmas, which anyone who can get a film title into a three-word review usually takes the prize for me. So well done to Alex for that for this week. James, any thoughts from those that you you wanted to pick up on?
Well, I think there's a fair bit of embarrassment, isn't there? And I think, do you know what? It's a bit of a sign of raised expectations, isn't it? Because we've all been there as Sale fans in the dark days where you send out a B team to Quint on a Friday night. You wouldn't even bother putting your A team on the coach. Not worth it. So, you know, it's the raised expectations piece, I think, that sort of really, really strikes me. I think, yeah, there was probably a bit of pressure on the lads to turn up. And where I maybe disagree slightly with you is I do think there will be some rotation in the Champions Cup. I don't think there will be against Stad because we're at home. I think we have to win that first game to be in the competition. And then there's a six-day turnaround where you go to Dublin. So if we're going to see rotation and then another six-day turnaround for the home game on the 22nd. Actually, I think it is at home. Saracens, isn't it?
Yeah, big Saracens game. On a Friday night is going to be a massive game and a very good one to go to, by the way.
Yeah. Everyone
listening is thinking 100%. About it.
So I think what we'll see there is, you know, first team on the Sunday against Stad and then give those guys kind of the 12 days to kind of get themselves back in peak condition against Saracens. And I think there'll be a huge amount of rotation for the Leinster game. And I think it'll make news. I think, you know, it'll be this old thing again of, well, you know, should this be allowed in the Champions Cup, etc. And I suppose there's an argument for Sale, really. I mean, you know, when the top eight get into the, of out of 10, get into the Champions Cup, you know, you need to get in the top four, I know, for the playoffs, but it's not in the same way as it was anymore, which was like tooth and nail to get into this competition. But I think that'll be the right decision anyway. Even with a first, even Toulouse going to Leinster is going to struggle. Yeah. So Sale, I mean, that's going to be an uphill battle. So I think that's what we'll see. But, you know, let's see there. And I don't know if there's anything, Alex, you want to talk about more about the Harlequins game or whether we should just have a quick look ahead then to this Stad game.
No, I don't think there's anything much to chat about the Quins game, so let's not labour the point. Ash is going to be the future at tight end. Great to see. We've got James Harper there as well, Nick Shonert. So, you know, there's some positives coming out of that. But other than that, to come away with 3 points, we're not going to be able to talk about that many positives, and I like talking about the positives. So let's look forward to Stad. Just, you know, as a little bit of context, I'm going to Dublin, so I'm fully expecting to see a rotated Sale team get absolutely battered at the RDS, which is, you know, very much decided that I'm not going for the rugby if that's the case, albeit I still will go and turn up and cheer the lads on. But before that, we've got the Stad game. I think it's important to look at the both of them in context, because, you know, as you alluded to there, the Champions Cup is going to see rotation from us because of the hand we've been dealt. We're away at the Stormers in Jan. We've got La Rochelle, the reigning European champions, at home. We've got Leinster, probably the second best team in Europe after La Rochelle, if not the first, away. And Stad looks like our best chance for winning this group to me. It's the home game that we've got a better chance of winning. We know that, you know, French teams don't necessarily travel well, albeit that's a bit of an old stereotype. So I think you're right in that it's probably the only game that we've got a realistic expectation of winning. And therefore, we probably should try and win it, because to come out of the Champions Cup with 4 defeats would be a bit of a blow. And I think it'd be a real blow to English rugby as well, because don't forget Sale, the second best team in English rugby last season, you know, pushed Saracens all the way, were leading the league for a lot of the season. So people do take us seriously. You know, we've got big players, we've got the Manus, the George Fords, the Tom Ben Currys, obviously, albeit don't know how many of them we'll see in the competition. So I think, you know, if we go through this competition basically without a win, it's going to look pretty bad for the Prem as well as Sale. So yeah, going to Stade Français at home Sunday afternoon. It's on ITV, which will be an interesting amount of exposure for the club as well. Hopefully get some new fans in that might just be casually watching, but also massively important for us to get a good crowd there as well. Be a really good atmosphere and a really good day with Europe, as it always is at Sale. I feel pretty positive about it because I think it's our best chance, and I think this team will see a reaction. But what do you think, James? I mean, I don't know that much about Stad. I don't know whether you do. I've had a little look. They don't have the big, big name internationals, but they do have a very good squad that's competing at the top end of the top 14, which for us, I think, is always a threat, because, you know, you put any Prem team in the top 14 and they probably wouldn't even make the top 4 or 5 teams, would they?
Well, I mean, this is it. So, I mean, Stad, they won at the weekend. It was a bit of a turnaround. They were top of the table after 6 games. Played 6-1-5. So they've stumbled a bit. They're about 5th in the league now. So, you know, it's highly competitive, especially on the road. Not many French teams win on the road. And really, when you pick up the odd wins there, that's what makes the difference. And I think, you're absolutely right to sort of note that they don't have any of the really, really big internationals. That said, you know, I think they've got some quality players in there. They brought in some really real experience at 9 with Brad Weber, Rory Cockett. You know, Rory Cockett's been around the French top 14 for a really, really serious length of time. And they have proven they could pick up a big win on the road. They won at Lyon this year, which is that's a really, really big win, and scored, you know, a fair amount of points. You know, Joe Marchant is there, who we know the form that he had for England going into the World Cup, but it's a shame he's not going to be available playing for England. They also have a 10/15 called Leo Barre, who looks like the real deal. I mean, he was a star in the age group for France. He's already got a couple of French caps. I mean, they've got enough 15s, but I think as a 10, I think he's going to be, you know, pushing over the next few years. Again, lots of depth there, but Ntamack's still going to be out for a little while, you'd imagine. So what I think is they're well coached. They have a really solid set piece. They have Gomez Cadella at tight head, the 50 billion year old Argentinian tight head, who just locks down the scrum, isn't doing really much else. But otherwise, they have a really mobile pack. And they have really, you know, solid defensive system with a couple of bits of magic, like from the likes of Barre, and they can open up teams. So, you know, look, like, it's always difficult to take a team in pink terribly seriously. But, you know, it always looks like it's just like a Sunday league type job, and the lads are like, I think we look good in pink, let's get out there. But actually, you know, they're getting back somewhere towards what I remember them being back in the day. You know, when Dominguez used to play for them, and Hernandez used to play for them. Players like that, you know, they used to be such a great team to watch. I think it'll be fantastic to have them at the Salford Stadium. And I think, wouldn't it be great if we can fill the stadium? You know, I think this is exactly the type of occasion that Sale fans have been crying out for a long time. It's here now. Get down and support the lads. I think we need to play our game. You know, if it's cold and wet in, I mean, Paris weather's not great, but if it's horrible in Manchester, they're not going to travel all that great. And honestly, if we put in a few massive hits early doors, I expect us to win.
Nice. It's a very positive outlook on the game, that, to be fair, mate. And a good little summary as well. I think it's one of those that, you're right, it's a bit of an unknown, isn't it, always with the Champions Cup. And if it's a team like Stade who don't play very often, and it's a team that, you know, you sort of don't know that much about, and they don't have those internationals that you get used to seeing on the bigger stages, then it does become a bit of an unknown, but it becomes exciting as a result. And I think you're right, it'll be a real good occasion, especially, as you say, if we can fill the stadium Sunday afternoon. It's a good time of day to play. You know, what else has everyone got on a Sunday? Shops are closed. Get down to the AJ Bell and go and have a look. And I think that's what we need people to do, isn't it? That's the real key to getting behind the team as well. We've seen the impact a home crowd makes on this team, and I think we've done really well to sort of leverage that and use that in games. Say, for example, the Bath game. I think that did get us over the line, having that crowd. So, yeah, massively important for me. In terms of predictions, I'm thinking it's going to be maybe Sale 25, Stad 15. I feel pretty confident. You've inspired me. And I think, you know, we've got as many good players as they do. So I'm going to go for a Sale win relatively comfortably, start our Champions Cup campaign well, and go to Dublin with a win under our belt. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think Sale will win. I think it'll be, Sale 25, but maybe Stad 20. I think it's going to be tighter than we'd like. But come on, lads.
Very nice. Very good. Well, we finally, just a little quick roundup of some Northwest rugby as we started doing the other week after I got in trouble on Twitter. So mostly postponed. So Coldy, Sedge, Fylde and Saleshots Women all got postponed. But there were a couple of good results. Sale FC won 56-32 away at Taunton, which is a big result for them. They're going to be moving up the league, hopefully, over the next few weeks, especially with a few players back up with Sale Sharks over the weekend, someone like Ash. James will be very pleased with a 46-22 win at home over Preston Grasshoppers, which is a massive result.
Absolutely massive. No, who saw that coming? Extraordinary.
Yeah, very, very impressive. So well done to them. I was scrolling through the other results and saw Chester won 18-8, so congratulations to them. And I know that despite the fact that Sale Sharks women didn't play, I am pretty sure that Sale FC 1861, the women's team, did play, but I can't find the result. And Bills, it's not on your Twitter, so I'm going to have to say I'm pretty sure they did win, so congrats. They've had a massively positive start to the season. I don't think I've seen them lose yet. So another good thing for women's rugby in the Northwest coming through. Hopefully I haven't missed anyone. If I have, feel free to tweet either the podcast or me individually and tell me, and I'll add you to a list of clubs that I try and remember to announce the results for every week. But of course, this is Sale Sharks podcast. So back to the AJ Bell on Sunday afternoon. please get down there. It'd be a really good atmosphere. Hopefully we'll have the fan zone open again as well after that wasn't able to be opened at Bath game. We will hope for a very positive result, and we will speak to you off the back of it next week in between a Stade Francais win and an undoubtedly shock Sale Sharks win away at Dublin the weekend after, which I'm very much hoping for. So that's all from us this week. I don't think we've got anything else, James, unless you have.
Nothing else on my side. We managed to get it done and squeeze the pod in. It was a miracle that we've managed to get it done, Alex. Thanks very much for your flexibility. And I hope it's not too much of a difficult listen for our listeners. And hopefully next time we'll be getting the pod out a little bit earlier, and we'll be thankful and grateful to be jumping on and talking about Sale win.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you everyone for listening as always, and we'll look forward to speaking to you next week.